You're listening to a message brought to you by Christian Life Church Hereford. If you would like to find out more about us, go to www.clch.cc.
We decided, we felt it was right that we should go back to looking at the Lord's Prayer. And we like praying, we love praying. But we just had this sense that there was more, that there was something else God wanted to say to us, something else that we wanted more, that he wanted us to grasp. And it's, you know, the disciples had been with Jesus for a couple of years. They knew praying like the back of their hand. You know, they prayed early in the morning, they had blessings, they had grace. And yet, in Jesus, they saw something different. And they said, Lord, teach us to pray. And so there was a hunger, a dissatisfaction with what they had to move to somewhere else and to know something else. And I believe that God is wanting us to grasp, wanting us to know more. I don't know what that more will be for you individually, but he's just stirring something in us to say, Lord, teach us to pray. We don't really understand, or perhaps you do, I don't really understand, why God chooses to use our prayers. We don't, you know, when he didn't need to, but he does, okay? Number one, he chooses to use our prayer. And it's one of the mysteries, and you've got to be all right with mysteries when you're praying. But he does. So when we say, teach us to pray, we can be sure, because Jesus answered the disciples, that he wants to answer that prayer for us too. That as we come to him and say, Lord, teach us to pray, that he will say, okay, I'm going to come. He chooses to use our prayer. So, the bit that said, Lord, teach us to pray, comes from Luke, and it's the Lord's Prayer is also repeated in Matthew. And it says, one day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. He said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us today. Not even reading it. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into Lead us not into temptation. I obviously learnt it some many years ago, and don't quite read what's written on the page. And then Matthew, it says, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." Some of what I say, a lot of what I might say, you will have heard before. When I was looking at it, I thought, yeah, I know all of this. But we've got... I just really have this discontentment and a hunger for us to know more. It's not about where we are, it's about the next step, it's about knowing more. The disciples wanted more than they had. They had prayers, they had times, they had blessings, they had grace, but they weren't satisfied with what they had. They saw in Jesus something else. Something that went beyond their experience and what they'd already known. They'd spent a couple of years with him. They'd watched him pray. But they said, there's something more. I think one of the keys in Luke is that in the chapter before, in verse 21, it says, at that same time, Jesus was filled with the joy of the Holy Spirit. And he said, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth. One big difference, he was full of the Holy Spirit. So despite knowing many Jewish creeds and prayers, They saw in Jesus that when he prayed, he was full of the Spirit and something was different, and they saw something they wanted. And so, you know, Jesus, God wants to stir in us a hunger for more of what we see. They saw that the passion and the power that resulted from being full of the joy of the Holy Spirit affected their prayers and how he prayed, his prayers. And they saw that his relationship with the Father affected how he prayed. It underpinned all that he was, and it was different. One of the first things is they say, Lord, teach us to pray, but he says, our Father. There's a move from Lord to Father. And even though Lord, in Hebrew, is talking about God's grace and he's gracious, and in the Greek it's about his mercy, there's still a difference, isn't there, of a Lord and a Father. And so he's straight away moving the goalposts of how you come and how you should approach prayer. He is straight away saying it's not someone that's far off, it's someone that's close, it's someone that's near. It's not someone that you have to be formal with. It's someone you can be who you are. It's not someone that you can have to be afraid of. It's someone that you can come unafraid, unsure. How you would come to a loving parent, that's how you come. And it was really changing things up for those disciples. God was not a close God. He was not someone that would hug them in their sorrow. And he is. That's what he was inviting in them. When Jesus prays, he almost always prays to the Father in the New Testament. And he's now saying to those disciples, actually, that level of intimacy that I have with my dad, I'm inviting you up there too. That's where I want you to, that's the position I want you to pray from. Not unafraid, not afraid, not far off, not full of shame, but I want you to pray from that position of, that's my dad, that's my papa, that's my father, that's my daddy. And it was radical in its thinking. It was revolutionary. And we can get a bit complacent and sometimes just carry on with the norm and what's become the norm, and we don't stop and remember enough this amazing, amazing relationship we've been invited into and this amazing position that we can pray from. It's exciting to be able to pray from that position. It's amazing. God is not saying, you need to stay far away from me. He's saying, come right up to me. Come right up to me. So he moves from the Lordship. And he is saying that this is my relationship with God. I want you to have that too. He's saying, this is for you. This relationship, this way of talking, is for you. He says, our Father. Ours together, but ours, Jesus is saying, our. You know, we've been seated with him in heavenly places. We're together with him in that position, an incredible position of praying to our Father. In Ephesians it says, because God is so rich in mercy and he loved us so much, even though we were dead in our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. We're united with Christ, our Father. I mean, you could just stop there, couldn't you? And just be in awe and amazement. So that's the God who is that amazing, and yet he's mine. He's mine. I mean, that is incredible. It's absolutely incredible. So it becomes really important and essential even that we keep reminding ourselves of these truths and our position over and over again. The Bible is full of remembering, isn't it? And there is an element to forget the past, I appreciate that, but there is also an element to let's remember the truth. Let's remind ourselves of the truth. We need to speak truth because the enemy will speak not truth, lies, basically. And so it's important that we counteract those lies. And God wants us today to just remind of us our position and his position, who we are and who he is and where he is, so that we can bring honour. Hallowed be your name. We have sung so many songs this morning, haven't we, about God's glory coming. And that is the purpose of us grasping the position we're in and he is in. Hallowed be your name. Honour to you. It's not so we have a nice little feeling, although God's really good and gives us that. It is to bring him honour and to bring him his glory. So the more we can grasp him and us, the more we can pray with the confidence and bring glory to him. And so it needs to matter to us. It really needs to matter that we're grasping this over and over again, because we want to bring him glory. And actually, we will be satisfied when we bring him glory, because that's what we've been created to do. So it all is linked together. So I read, or heard, I can't remember. What comes, this quote by A.W. Tozer, what comes into mind when we think about God is the most important thing about us. We tend by secret law of the soul to move towards our mental image of God. And it will be informed by our own experience of our father, our parents, and by how society presents fatherhood or parenthood and what he says about it. It might, you know, and some of the pictures you see of God as a benevolent grandpa, just but a bit impersonal, a bit far away, or often he's presented as a judge, a harsh judge that is going to keep records of your wrongs and rights, or he's a bit impersonal. You know, your dad may have been always busy. He may not have been there. He may have been a judge. He may have been indifferent. He may have been really good. I'd say I had a good dad. But if I stop there, I will miss something of God as a father. However good they are, God is better. God is more. So if you cannot think of a single thing that's wrong with your dad, then great, but God is better. God is still better. God is still better. And it's the Father. Our Father is better. He is more. He is more. So we need to be constantly reminding ourselves of the truth of him being a father. And I couldn't believe it when I saw the song list today. I was like, wow. I knew what I wanted to say, and I just looked at it and thought, oh, God, you're good, aren't you? You know, that he is a good, good father. That he does come. That he does love with unbelievable, undeniable love. And we have to work on keep grasping and setting our minds on knowing God as that perfect good father. I don't believe it's a once and for all. I don't think we can say I've dealt with all of that. James and I often talk about onions and layers of onions and peeling truth off and finding more truth. And more truth as you peel each layer of the onion off. And I believe that with God's love and knowing him as a father, there is always, always more. Always more. And to acknowledge him as a father in itself says we are children and we are his children. And so we have to put aside our flawed perceptions of fatherhood and adopt the view that God is desperate we grab hold of. God is desperate that we grab hold of his goodness and see him as a loving father. He's not going to change his mind about us. He won't just be around for a little while and then go. He won't get tired of you. He won't get frustrated with you. He won't lose his rag with you. God so loved the world. God so loved you. God so loves the world. So it's really, really important that we grasp him as a father. And the next bit says, our Father in heaven. And I just, I don't think we've begun to grasp that bit either, have we? What that means, God's in, our Father's in heaven. All that it means, a place of great reward, light permeating every corner, rooms prepared for you already, loveliness. It's his glorious riches, the heavenly realms, no pain, no more sorrow, no more death, the presence of God. He's seated there, and that's not to make us step back because it's too scary or too imaginary or too unbelievable. It's to make us grasp exactly who our Father is. My dad used to always tell this story about a friend of his. I don't know if it's... Anyway, it's a story he used to often tell. And who got a mortgage on the basis that he went into... This is many years ago, obviously. A mortgage broker and said, oh, my dad owns the sheep on 10,000 hills. Because he had grasped who his dad was. It's just, I don't know, you can think, oh, well, but our Father in heaven, our Father in heaven. So he is our Father and he's in heaven, and we have to come as children. And if God is our good Father, which he is, then we have to move into that position, that status. The status we were created for was to be his child and him our dad. The thing we were created for was for him to be our dad, and all we want to do is give him honour and glory. And taking our identity as his child, confident, accepted, we have to continue to declare that truth. You can have endless pictures of children just trusting their parents, their father. You know, when the kids are little, they don't come wondering if they'll be accepted. They come. They actually don't wonder how you're going to answer their request. So they don't think, oh, I wonder if there are biscuits in the cupboard, if I ask for a biscuit, and whether they come and say, can I have a biscuit? They don't analyse how you're going to answer their request or their what they say. They come just... And I don't know, you perhaps you're not so analytical, but I tend to pray sometimes and think, right, well, you could do that this way, God, or you could do it that way. And, well, then you could do that and do that. I'm not coming quite as a child, or I'm coming as a too grown-up child, and I need to just... come as a child. And so God's just wanting us to grasp our possession. And as I've already said, the enemy is a liar. And one of the lies, if not the lie, he most wants to tell you is that, number one, God is not a father. And if he's not a father, he's not a good one. He's a bad one. And he wants to tell you that you're not his child, that you are not good enough to be his child. And that he won't be working for your good. He wants to tell you that, and he'll try. And it says the devil is prowling around like a lion looking for ways to devour us. And so it's not just going, he's not going to throw this once. That is a good thing. The bad thing. You can sometimes think, oh, well, I've dealt with that. And then a couple of years later, bing, he brings it back. It's just, he's deceitful. He's a liar. He's looking for a way to destroy. And so he doesn't care if he says it to you over and over again. And he won't care if it doesn't work one time. That, you know, he just got to... So we just need to grasp that we can be confident in his provision and his forgiveness. And that we can come confident and he will bring heaven to earth. That where we were. In the Gospels, in all four, it talks about the baptism of Jesus. And in three of them, which tells you it's important, is that the voice comes from heaven and says, "You are my beloved son. With you, I am well pleased." It's one of my favourite scriptures. And Jesus hadn't really done anything then. He hadn't earned God's love. He just had God's love. We have God's love this morning. Yes, we need to respond. Yes, we need to do good works. But we have God's love. And actually, when we come in prayer, we have it. That's who we are. God chooses to declare his love, his delight, his pleasure, and still is. The other thing that children do is they don't, certainly when they're little, they don't plan what they're going to say to you and work it out in big language and lots of words. If they want a drink, they'll say, "I want a drink." They may be made, be forced to add "please" on the end. But, you know, they just say it as it is. They don't pretend to make you feel good, or they don't pretend because they think they should. They just say it as it is. And God is wanting that from us, that we say it as it is. So if this morning you think, well, I've given up on prayer, or I haven't prayed for ages, just tell him how it is. If you're not stirred to know more, just tell him. Tell him where you are. Tell him what's it is, because that's what he needs to know. And then as he moves you on, his glory will come and we will bring honour unto him. They don't pretend. They don't beat around the bush. They say it as it is. And God is saying, don't babble. Don't think you need big words. Don't think you need to have it all sussed before you pray. Come as you are. Come as you are. Come as you are. And as we come in as children to a good father, with all the resources of heaven at his disposal, you know, our mind will begin to become in line with his and how he wants us to pray. And our mind will begin to think like his. I heard a quote as well the other week, and it says, if you've got 10 minutes to pray, 7 or 8 minutes of those should be spent in worship. Which I thought was quite interesting. Just because it aligns your thinking and puts you in the right place. He said you can get a lot of praying done in 2 minutes. You can cover a lot of topics. But if you can be praying from a position of being a child to the Father, being full of the Holy Spirit, then you will pray in line with his will. So there is mystery in our work with God, in our walk with God. There is stuff that we don't understand, and there are answers that we feel we didn't get. or things that we thought should go one way but went a different way, or thoughts that we hoped would be different, healings that didn't happen. And God knows those disappointments. He understands. He understands our hurt and our pain. And we have a decision to make as a church and as individuals. Do we say, God is good, God is faithful, God is honouring, God is always working for good? I don't get why that had to happen. I don't understand that. But God, help me to be okay with the mystery. Because we have to grasp God is a good father. We have to come as children who know God is working for good in all things. And if we can't see it, do we let the circumstances dictate? Or are we going to say, no, God is faithful. He is good. He loves me beyond measure. And it's a choice. But God is wanting us to know more as we pray of our position and his position. And I don't know why, but we just felt that God has got more for us in prayer together as a church and more as individuals. And so we really ask that you think, well, God, what disappointment do I need to put down? Or what hurt do I need to put down? Or what aspect of your character that you are always faithful have I not picked up? Because it doesn't matter, as I say, where you are now, how confident you come into his presence, there is more. There is more. God's got asking more. I don't know what it will be. It'll be different for each of us. So there will be more. He wants us to stir our prayer life up. He wants us as a church to see answers to prayer in a new way. I believe he wants to demonstrate his love through us, that little light shining in Ross. Because then as we come as his children, as we declare his faithfulness, as we come expecting the resources of heaven, confident that he'll put them as his disposable in your situation, the world around us is going to be changed and the honour and the glory is going to go to him. So today we just need to think, well, what, God, is my next step? What do I need to put down? What do I need to pick up? What is it that you're asking of me? Because we can hear it all again and think, yeah, that's right. But it needs to change us and it needs to speak into our heart. And it needs for us to think, yeah, Father, you are amazing. God is incredible, isn't he? That he hears us when we pray. He loves to see us in his presence. But he's saying, do you know, I've got even more for you. I've got even more for you to know. I've got even more of my hand to see in your lives. It's not just about here. It's about in our individual situations. God is saying, I want to work more. I want to do more. But you need to come as a child to your loving Father and just be focused on the honour and the glory going to him. Let's just pray.